out in the seventh sector, a deep space cruiser maneuvered its huge bulk alongside the communications satellite. A panel in the gleaming black hull slid open, and a remotely controlled cable snaked across the void, clamping its magnetic locks onto the capsule. When it was firmly attached, the cable was reeled in. The satellite vanished into the cruiser, and the panel slid shut. Moments later, the ship's tail rockets gave a quick blast, and she resumed her original course. The satellite was subjected to the usual checks for contamination and radiation, and, after a brief period in the quarantine chamber, was pronounced safe to handle. It was taken to the workshops, where engineers set about removing its instruments and downloading the record of its journey. It contained the usual sort of data: radiation levels, magnetic fields, meteoroid activity, all of which was effectively meaningless, since they had no way of knowing when and where in the universe it had been collected. While the Lycinic plaques gave up their data, Carlson, the chief engineer, had time to examine the shell of the satellite in more detail. It was primitive in design, likely originating on a frontier planet, probably 50 or 60 years old. He lifted the protective cover off the guidance circuit and prodded around with the screwdriver. Beneath the maze of wires was a charred section where the insulation had burned away and the cables fused. He nodded with satisfaction. This was why the satellite did not appear on any of their star charts. It had malfunctioned at some point in the past and had since run an erratic course. Indeed, spotting it had been a pure fluke, like finding a bottle with a message in the ocean. Carlson started to write up his log. Every incident on the voyage had to be recorded. He worked slowly, vaguely aware of the background noise, as the file download ran through the bank of instruments. A sudden whining crackle made him look up. Echoing static reverberated around the cabin, but despite all the interference, he could have sworn he had heard a voice. He turned up the volume on the speakers. For a moment, there was nothing, and then it came again. Indistinct, muzzy, but undoubtedly a human voice. It became a little